Blog Talk Radio.
Yeshua HaMashiach. Peace and blessings, my sisters. How are you this evening?
Doing great, brother. How are you
peace
doing?
Peace and blessings. Peace and blessings. Bless, have all bless, the grandbabies.
Well, I have three of them.
I am enjoying the comments that I'm seeing in the text messages from you sisters. It sounds like the word is really convicting you in your walk. And that we want to do better.
Oh, yes.
Amen. 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 Man, this
not
has been
want
something.
To do, Brother Myers, not want to do better. We're going to do better. I choose
amen.
To do better.
Amen.
No, the Most
amen.
High, nothing
amen.
To play with.
It is good to hear you know, even the conviction in the words from all of you sisters, that we are committed to doing, you know, the will of the Most High and walking in His ways, and appreciating Him for who He is and not taking Him for granted. It is just beautiful. I have been teaching all afternoon and then forgot I hadn't scheduled this lesson. You know, I said I'm going to stop it in time, and but then I realized I hadn't even scheduled it. So had to rush to put something out there. But, you know, I was asked to teach, you know, on the fear of the Most High and keeping His commandments, because it's a lot of us who are Hebrews to claim to be Hebrews and don't even keep His statutes, laws, and commandments. Don't keep His feast days. Don't keep the dietary laws. So for all practical purposes, you know, they are claiming to be Hebrew, but living the life of solely a Christian, you know, a modern day, I don't know a better way to say it, Christian, because I believe that I'm a Christian, but I believe that we should be keeping the statute, laws, and commandments, and they don't believe that they are under the law. So, you know, showing them that they should fear Yah. And somehow people don't want to make distinction between ignorant sin and willful sin. And, you know, they just want to hear sin. And not that the Most High, you know, makes a distinction between the two. So it has been interesting. I think there was about 30 people, and two brothers disagreed with it. But, you know, they were clearly, they didn't keep, you know, the statutes, laws, and commandments. And they feel like Messiah died for all their sins forever, even though they were shown that He didn't. But everybody else, you know, agreed. And again, some of them I know had not agreed before. But as I say, the way the Most High has me to lay it out for them now, you know, they have to actually look at it and choose to agree or not agree. Anyway, it's been a long afternoon for me in that regard. Yet and still, we want to be faithful and we want to keep His word and we want to continue in this walk through the covenant. Because I'm convinced more and more as we go through this, the things that we learn, the things that we are reminded of that we may have once known and forgotten, that this walk through the covenant, the old covenant, is bringing so many things back to our remembrance and fortifying, you know, us in our walk and allowing us to see that the Most High just doesn't play. And, yeah, so this is definitely a good thing, and I thank y'all for it. And I thank y'all for each and every one of you.
Brother Miles?
Yes, ma'am.
Sister Denise is hooked up on my phone, but she's online.
All right, amen. Amen. Shalom, Sister Denise.
Shalom.
All right, amen. We pray that the Most High gives you and your family comfort again in this time of your bereavement.
Kind of breaking up. I can't hardly hear you. Okay, I'm sitting still. Can you say it again?
I said, shalom, and we wish you and your family that the Most High gives you and your family comfort in this time of your bereavement.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, amen. Amen. All right, so we are going to go ahead and jump into this, start with our statement of faith. And on this morning, as we did, we're in the book of Numbers. We are back in the book of Numbers. We continue to walk through the new covenant. I think we started in 19 this morning, and we went through uh, 21, I believe. Let me make sure. No, we stopped in 20. So we are in 21 because we got to where Aaron was told to go up to the top of Mount Horeb, change over his priestly robes, give them to his son, and then he was going to die. He's going to go to sleep and sleep with his fathers. And the Most High was not going to allow him to go any further. Okay, and we know that this was because he and Moses were in rebellion. The Most High said that, you know, they actually operated in unbelief when it came to bringing water out of the rock to the people. And this one act caused Moses and Aaron not to be able to enter into the promised land. And so at the end of Numbers chapter 20, we'll read this, and then we'll go ahead and do our statement of faith. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them on Eleazar, his son, and Aaron died there on the top of the mountain. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. So, you know, the point here, the couple of points was simply that, number one, the Most High told Aaron and Moses they wouldn't enter in because of their rebellion, their unbelief at Moribah, and that, you know, it is, he pronounced judgment on Aaron. It's like, you're not going to enter in after they have tried to go through Edom. And they end up by Horeb, the Mount Horeb, and the Most High says, okay, Aaron, you're not going any further. Get up on the mountain and change out the priesthood. Aaron, you're dying today. And like I said, that judgment came immediately. As soon as the Most High pronounced it, it was carried out. And, you know, I said, if we put ourselves in his shoes, you know, that had to weigh on him. I'm going to walk up to the top of this mountain and I ain't coming back. So we have to understand that the Most High, in these days, judgment came quickly. And we've seen this over and over and over again with the people who rebelled, you know, the 250 from the families of Dathan and Korah and the other brother. We saw the 250 men, judgment come to them immediately. We saw judgment come to the 14,000 immediately. I mean, as soon as they did it, the 250 men, that came the next day. I believe Moses set them up when he said, you know, go get your censers and come and burn incense before the tent of meeting. And then the Most High says they ain't authorized to do that and burnt them up. Didn't, you know, pronounce sins and burnt them up at the same time in a moment. Caused Korah and Dathan and his family and the other brother's family to get swallowed up by the earth immediately. And so, you know, people think the Most High is slack today because judgment doesn't come immediately. And they think that he's weak or something, that he won't judge sin because, you know, judgment is not coming immediately. You know, but he says, I've set apart a day for that. And so we want to be mindful that the Most High is not weak. He is not weak by any means. And he has not changed his ways. So we have to be very afraid of him. Have to be very afraid of his judgment when it does come. So let us do our statement of faith, and we're going to get into chapter 21 and see what thus saith Yah Elohim in chapter 21. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. We just glorify you, Father. We lift you up and we magnify your name. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father. We worship and adore you. You are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. You are our Redeemer. You are our Savior. You are the only Elohim that we will bow down to, that we will obey your word, and we will worship no other. And Father, we just thank you right now for giving us a mind to worship and praise you and to obey you, Father, because many do not. We thank you for opening our eyes, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We glorify you, Father. We glorify you. We glorify you, and we extol you and lift you up. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, and hallelujah, and hallelujah. Hallelujah. 10,000 praises to you, oh yeah. 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000. We glorify you. Holy hands raised. Let me have the ladies cover your heads. Any men listening, uncover your heads. We welcome you no matter where you may be, on Blog Talk, on Pal Talk, on the internet in general, on your phone, in your car, at your house, wherever you may be listening at, on the North American continent, the South American continent, on the continent of Africa, or in the European continent. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved. Holy men, holy men, holy hands raised up. Let us turn toward the east, the direction that the sun, or the opposite direction that the sun is going down, depending upon where you're at, as we go before the Most High. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. And let us go to Psalm 23 in the scriptures. Psalm of David, Psalm 23. Yah is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yah forever. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, we are in Numbers chapter 21. And as I said, as we go through this, and we are reviewing the covenant, the old covenant. And in doing so, we are at the same time reviewing the new, because there are just a few changes that he made to the old, to the new, from the old. He didn't write a brand new contract with brand new terms, brand new conditions, brand new statutes, brand new commandments, brand new ordinances. He changed a few things, okay? But it's the same covenant. And the reason that he used the same covenant, because the old, there was nothing wrong with the old one. And this is what, you know, some people have a hard time understanding. They think he came up with a new covenant because there was something wrong with the old one. What was wrong with the old one is that we broke it. We didn't keep it. He kept his part of it. We didn't keep ours. Our forefathers didn't. That's what was wrong with it. He said, my covenant which you break. So we want to make sure that we understand that there's a few things that he changed concerning sacrifices, concerning going amongst the Gentiles. Very few things that he changed. No more animals to die for our sins. Messiah is the last sacrifice for our sins. But just about everything else stayed the same. So, you know, what it appears to me, and I could be wrong, you know, it wouldn't be the first time, but it appears to me that people are trying to take the standards of the world and bring them into the new covenant. You know, what psychologists say, what the moral compass is of the world today, and think that that's part of the new covenant. They may think that all you got to do is love your brother and love the Most High. But if you truly love your brother, then all these things that he's saying in the covenant, you know, where Messiah more so dealt with how we deal with each other on a day-to-day basis. And people want to think that, you know, that is all that's in the new covenant, that we love one another and that we, you know, love the Most High with all our heart, all our mind, and all our body. But then the Most High says all along that if you love me, keep my commandments. And see, people still don't want to do that. So they definitely don't want to fear him, because then they want to define fear as just respect. You either respect him. Well, if you respect him and don't obey his commandments, how much do you really respect him? So it's always something contradictory. So I thank him for the mind and the heart that he is putting in you concerning this thing, that we don't walk contrary to him, and that we show him the respect that he is due, not only respect, but the proper fear of him. Really, good grief. I just realized the scripture I should have used earlier. Because how many have ever heard of fearing somebody? How many of you have ever heard of respecting somebody with trembling? Do people usually put those two together? No. I respect you so much
No.
that it scares me. I ain't never heard nobody
No,
not put
today.
Those two together. So it is clearly that the individuals that don't want to fear the Most High, but, you know, they want to have a respect of him, but they don't really want to have a fear of him, to fear what he's going to do. They don't really want to have a fear of him because of that. But then, thank you, Most High. I have to go back with this scripture and ask them that same question. Hey, how many people you respect that you respect them with with trembling. Isn't that a different level altogether? You don't usually tremble at somebody out of respect. But the Most High says to fear him with fear and trembling. That's a whole different level of respect. So I thank the Most High for, you know, bringing that to my remembrance. Wanted to say shalom to 907-884. I believe that's my previous landlord. Wanted to say shalom to you, Shabbat shalom, and thanks for joining us this evening. I hope that you were able to see the land that we purchased, and you and I can talk sometime concerning this. That being said, we're in the book of Numbers, chapter 21. The book of Numbers, chapter 21, starting in verse 1. And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. Now, the fact that he was able to fight against Israel and take some of them prisoners shows that the Most High either wanted to do something, he wanted to show something, because this should have never happened, or he was displeased with Israel, okay, because of their murmurings. But the people, because they have been attacked now, all before they've been murmuring and complaining. You know, you brought us out here in the wilderness to let us die of starvation. You brought us out here in the wilderness to kill us. You brought us out here in the wilderness to keep, you know, to starve us to death. Just complaining. And now they have been attacked. Okay? Now I want us to watch the attitude of Israel and the attitude of the Most High, you know, concerning this. And we're still, you know, in the process of reviewing the old covenant. And Israel vowed a vow unto Yah and said, if thou will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. So the people are saying, hey, if you will deliver this people that attacked us into our hands, then we will utterly destroy their cities. And Yah hearkened unto the voice of Israel. Now, I want you to also take a note of the way this is written. Because, you know, when you read this, you're thinking he's talking to an individual. And Israel vowed a vow unto Yah, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand. But this is the group of people that he's talking to. It's not the man Israel. He's dead long gone. Okay, this is the nation that he's talking to and is telling us the way it's written that they are of one mind. They're acting like an individual. One heart, one mind. And so he's having the scripture written in such a way that it sounds like it's this man talking when it is really is the people coming to him of one mind and one heart. And Yah hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites. They utterly destroyed them and their cities. He didn't say he. And he called the name of the place Hormah. So they, the nation, the Most High is identifying them as an individual and that they're coming to him with one heart and one mind saying, hey, these people, the king Arad attacked us and took some of us prisoners. If you will deliver them into our hands or just into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. Okay. And the Most High heard them and he hearkened unto them. And they journeyed from the Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to surround the land of Eden. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Now, let's break that down. The soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. This wasn't the way they wanted to come. Remember, they went to Edom in chapter 18 or 19, and I believe it was 19, chapter 20. And, you know, they asked Edom, let us pass through your land. And we won't travel, we won't go through your fields. We won't go through your orchards. We won't go through your vineyards. We won't drink none of your water. We will take the king's highway and we'll just pass through the land. And Edom said no. Now, Edom is their brother. Remember, Jacob and Esau were brothers. And these are the descendants of Esau. And they will not let Israel pass by. So they turn and they go another way. And this other way brings them to Mount Hor. And Aaron is told to go up on top of the mountain and, you know, he's going to die there. Now they're moving and they are now in a way that they have surrounded the land of Edom. Okay? But the way is hard. And the people have become discouraged because the way is hard. You know, the Most High intentionally wanted them to just pass through the land because it's the easiest way to go. But Edom said no. And so now they are surrounding Edom. But it's not, you know, it's not an easy journey. And the people spake against Yah and against Moses because this journey is hard. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die? I told you, every time they come up against a hardship, it's always, you're going to let us die. Okay? The last time they said this, 14,000 of them died in a matter of minutes because they made the Most High mad. And they came up against the Most High and against Moses and Aaron. And so now here they are. They're coming up against the Most High and against Moses again. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. Our soul loathes this light bread. What are they saying? We hate this manna. Think about what they're saying. And all the time that, you know, the Most High, last time they complained because the Most High, they said, we don't have no meat. And the Most High flew in quail. Says, as wide as they were, but 10 miles deep, 3 feet, 10 miles deep, and all around the camp, 3 feet deep. So 10 miles wide, 3 feet deep. Told them to get as much as they wanted. He said that they would eat quail. Some of them would eat quail until they died, till it came out their nose and they died. And he made them eat quail literally until they died. Because they complained. Here they are again. The Most High just brought water at Meribah out of the rock. Moses lost his privilege to go into the kingdom, to go into the promised land, because the people murmured against the Most High and made Moses mad, and him and Aaron spoke out against the people in such a way that they took the glory from the Most High. And the Most High says, you know what, for that, you ain't going into the promised land, Moses, you nor Aaron. So this people steadily getting Moses in trouble. They steadily being punished because they always murmur and complaining anytime it's any type of hardship. So they have had a hard way surrounding the land of Edom. And they're saying, hey, there ain't no water here. There ain't no bread. And we hate this manna. Good grief. And Yah sent fiery serpents among the people. Now, what did I tell you before? We're looking for the nature of the Most High. Every time the people transgressed, his judgment came immediately. They transgress, his judgment came immediately. And he keeps telling them, you need to fear me. And so every time they complain, somebody die. Every time they transgress, somebody dies. And people, you know, as I said, people think that the Most High is slack today. Because when we transgress, we don't die right away. And we don't think that the Most High, that we really have to fear him. but we have to fear him, okay? So Yah sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. They transgressed and died. And so I don't know why people think that the Most High Elohim is different today. Because as we, you know, learned in the New Testament, he hasn't changed. He said, I'm making a time of grace that you could come and repent. But I have also chosen a day that I'm going to judge you all. And all of you who have been disobedient, who have willfully been disobedient, and have transgressed my laws, you're going to answer for it. So because it hasn't come yet, people think he's slack. And he says, you think I'm slack in my promises as a man is slack. But you just don't know. I'm going to get you. You think you got away with it? You haven't gotten away with it. And if you don't repent of your ways, if you don't turn from your wicked ways, and repent and turn away from your sin, you might think you've gotten away with it now, but I got a day appointed for you, and you've gotten away with nothing. So, but here he's showing us by example that he doesn't play. And he said that, you know, if you transgress my law, he gave us, every time he's given us what the penalty is for transgression. It wasn't a, you know, pat on the head or a slap on the wrist. 99.9% of the time, we have read every time, the people died. Period. It cost them their life. And so we see this in the old covenant, and people think that it has changed in the new covenant, and it has not. That is what the kicker is. The vast majority of what we're reading in the old covenant is transferred into the new with a few changes. And we have to understand that. So we need to pay attention to the Most High. We need to pay attention to how his judgment comes. We need to pay attention to how he's not a respecter of men, of people. So here they are complaining. Complaining once again. We ain't got no water. We ain't got no food. We don't like this manna. I mean, good grief. It just never ceases to amaze me, and I've read these things over and over and over again, but it never ceases to amaze me, the attitude. And what, you know, how the Most High responds. And Yah sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. Every time after they start dying, they realize, oh, we have sinned. No stuff. How many people he got to kill before you realize that every time you do this, you transgress his commandment, you show your unbelief in him. And he don't just say, well, I'll prove it to you. I'll prove that how good I am, or I'll prove that my word is good. Some of y'all gonna die every time. But we think he's, you know, all merciful. He's all forgiving. These people, he didn't hold court. They just start, the serpents went in and start killing those ones that were complaining. And Yah told those serpents exactly who to bite. Okay. Verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. We have spoken against Yah and against thee. Pray unto Yah that he may take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And Yah said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. They don't believe in me. They need something they need to look at. The snake's still going to bite them. But when they bite them now, If they look at this pole, they won't die. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent, he lived. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Obot. Now, what I want to bring up here, this same serpent that Moses created, these people kept this serpent, I think, up until the time of Gideon. I have to look at who it was, but long after they have entered into the promised land, they have taken this snake with them, and they were still worshiping this snake. They were still looking upon it, and people were worshiping it because the Most High had it made. I have to find that in the scripture so that we understand. Long after Moses, long after they have entered into the promised land, they were still worshiping this snake, okay? Still going and worshiping it because Yah had caused it to be created. And when I read that in the scripture, you know, I was, you know, you think of the snake, but you never really ask yourself whatever happened to that snake. Well, it's in the scripture and I believe it was Gideon, when he was pulling down the other altars, you know, from the high places, when he's cleaning up the land like the Most High said, that he also destroyed this serpent because the people were still worshiping it, okay? And they journeyed from Obot and pitched at Ijabarim in the wilderness, which is before Moab, toward the sun rising. From thence they removed and pitched in the valley of Zered. And from there they removed and pitched on the other side of Arnon, which is in the wilderness, cometh out of the coast of the Amorites. For Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. Wherefore it is said in the book of wars of Yah, which he did in the Red Sea, in the brooks of Arnon, and at the stream of the brooks that goeth down to the dwelling of Ar, and lieth upon the border of Moab. And from thence they went to Beer, and that is the well whereof Yah spake unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. And the princes digged the well, and the nobles of the people digged it, by the direction of the lawgiver with their staffs. So the lawgiver is Moses. And with their staffs, and from the wilderness they went to Mattanah. And from Mattanah to Nahaliel. And from Nahaliel to Bamath. And from Bamath in the valley that is in the country of Moab to the top of Pisgah, which looks toward Jeshimon. And Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, let us pass through thy land. We will not turn into the fields or into the vineyards. Now, it's the same thing that they told Edom. We will not drink of the waters of the well, but we will go along the king's highway until we pass thy border. And Sihon would not suffer Israel to pass through his border. But Sihon gathered all his people together and went out against Israel in the wilderness. And he came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. Now, Edom did the same thing, but he didn't fight Israel. He came out with a sword. He showed up with a great number. And the Most High didn't allow Israel to attack Edom. Why? Because this is your relative. These are the descendants of Esau, Jacob's brother, twin brother. And the Most High didn't come against them, but he turned against them because they wouldn't let them pass, but he didn't allow and make Israel go into battle with them. Okay, but now we see with the king Sihon, however we want to pronounce this, we see him gather his people and come out to fight against Israel. And Israel smote him with the edge of the sword. and possessed his land from Arnon unto Jabbok, even unto the children of Ammon, for the border of the children of Ammon was strong. And Israel took all these cities, and Israel dwelt in the land of the city of the Amorites, in Heshbon and in all the villages thereof. Now they are dwelling in these cities and in these people's houses that they didn't build. And the Most High told him, when I take you into the promised land, you're going to possess houses that you didn't build. Okay? For Heshbon was the city of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab, and taken all his land out of his hand, even unto Arnon. Wherefore they spake in Proverbs, saying, come into Heshbon, let the city of Sihon be built and prepared, for there is a fire gone out of Heshbon, a flame from the city of Sihon. It has consumed Ar of Moab, and the lords of the high places of Arnon. Woe to thee, Moab, thou art undone, O people of Chemosh. Chemosh is a Canaanite deity. He has given his sons that escaped and his daughters into captivity unto Sihon, king of the Amorites. So Sihon, who came out against Israel, he had defeated this king of Moab. But now he's in trouble with the Hebrews. We have shot at them. Heshbon is perished even unto Dibon, and we have laid them waste even unto Naphtah, which reaches unto Medeba. Thus Israel dwelt in the land of the Amorites. And Moses sent to spy out Jazer, and they took the villages thereof and drove out the Amorites that were there. And they turned and went up the way of Bashan. And Og, the king of Bashan, went out against them, he and all his people, to the battle of Edrei. And Yah said unto Moses, fear him not, for I have delivered him into thy hand, and all his people, and all his land, and his land. And thou shalt do to him as thou did unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon. So they smote him. They killed him and his sons and all his people until there was none left him alive. And they possessed his land. So they are going through these people's lands now. He didn't allow them to do it to their own people, Edom. But now everybody that's coming out against them, the Most High is allowing them to take the land and to possess their houses. And he's starting to fulfill a promise to them that he made, that they shall dwell in houses that they didn't build. They're going to inhabit a land full of milk and honey. But right now they're taking the land of the Moabites. Okay? Numbers chapter 22, starting in verse 1. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on the side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people, because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. Verse 4. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian. Now remember, Moses married a Midianite woman, Zipporah. Okay? And his father-in-law was the priest of Midian. Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are around us, as the ox licks the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children, his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Now, I want us to pay attention to this, because as I said, Moses' father-in-law is a Midianite, okay? And behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too many for me. Peradventure, I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I want that he whom thou blessest is blessed. For I know that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou curses is cursed. Now this man is a Midianite. He knows the Most High. Just like Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, knew the Most High, and he was a priest of the Midianites, and he made sacrifice with Moses and with the elders of Israel. Well, this man, this Moabite, Balak, he knows the Midianites too, and he understands that the Most High is with them, with the Midianites. And this Midianite has come to the aid of Balak in the past, Balaam, okay? He's come to their aid in the past. And he said, I know who you bless is blessed. And I know who you curse is cursed. Come curse this people for me. Okay, so understand who we're dealing with. Israel is not the only people that the Most High has ever dealt with. Okay, and the Midianites, who are the descendants of Abraham through Keturah, his second wife, they have had a relationship with the Most High while Israel was in Egypt, becoming a nation. And this is the people who the Most High sent Moses to when he ran from Pharaoh after he killed the Egyptian. He ran to the Midianites. And the Midianites encamped around Mount Sinai. They encamped around the mountain of the Most High. And so this is how Moses initially met the Most High. So understand who the people are that we're dealing with in this story. And this Midianite, that this Moabite, Balaam, is calling. Verse 7. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again. As Yah, and he's calling the Most High by his name. So when we see the Lord there, we know he didn't say the Lord. He used the name of the Most High, which Lord, all uppercase, represents his name. So it tells us that Balaam knows the name of the Most High. As Yah shall speak unto me, and the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And Elohim came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? So this man has a relationship with the Most High. He is not a Hebrew. Okay? He would be a Hebrew. But he is of the seed. He's not an Israelite. And Elohim came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto Elohim, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And Elohim said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. So this is a hard-headed, stiff-necked people, but the Most High has chosen them. He just got through killing some for what? Rebelling and saying, hey, this journey is too hard. We ain't got no water. We ain't got no food. We don't like this manna. Sent serpents upon them, but he said that they are blessed. These are the people that I have chosen, okay? And you're not going to curse them. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for Yah refuses to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up and went, and they went into unto Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes, more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said unto and said to him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. Don't let nothing stop you from coming to me, for I will promote you unto very great honor. I will do whatsoever you ask, you say unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of Yah, my Elohim. See, Yah, my Elohim, to do less or more. This is a Midianite, okay? And the Most High, why he was had Egypt, why he had Israel in Egypt making him a new nation, he was dealing with the Midianites. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry you also this night, that I may know that Yah will say, what Yah will say unto me more. And Elohim came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call you, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And Elohim's anger was kindled because he went. Now I just thought Elohim just told him to go. Okay? But Elohim had already told him the first time, don't go. But he came back and inquired of Elohim. So Elohim let him go so he could actually become angry at him and start judging his people. And Elohim's anger was kindled because he went. And the anger of Yah stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now, read this again. And Elohim's anger was kindled because he went. And I read that wrong. The angel of Yah stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon an ass, and his two servants were with him. Now Yah said, I already told you, don't go nowhere. You're going to come and inquire of me again about these same people. Get up and go. But now see what the Most High does. Because he goes, and he sends an angel, and the angel is going to kill him. Okay, but the donkey that he's on sees this angel. Now this story right here, I laugh at it a lot, because if you imagine this donkey turn around and talking to you, okay, let's read verse 22 again. And Elohim's anger was kindled against because he went. And the angel of Yah stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon an ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of Yah standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. He knew this donkey knew that this angel meant business. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass, hit him, to turn her into the way. Go back over here. Where are you going? Get back on this path. But the angel of Yah stood in the path of the vineyards, and a wall being on this side, and a wall on that side. So now he can't go left or right. He can go forward or backwards. And when the ass saw the angel of Yah, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he hit her again. And the angel of Yah went forth and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. I'm about to deal with you because the Most High is angry with you. And when the ass saw the angel of Yah, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled. And he smote the ass with his staff. Now he was hitting the donkey with his hand at first. Now he pulls out his staff and he hits the donkey. And Yah opened the mouth of the ass. Now this is, you imagine this happening to you. And she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto you? What have I done to you that thou hast smitten me, hit me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. And the ass said unto Balaam, am I not thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever want to do so unto thee? And he said, no. You know, you've basically been a good ass. You've basically been obedient. Then Yah opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of Yah standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. Oh, crap. And the angel of Yah said unto him, wherefore or why hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand you, because thy way is perverse before me. This is the angel of Yah, and he acts on behalf of Yah, and he talks as though he is Yah. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she turned from me, surely now I also had slain you and saved her life. So why are you hitting this donkey these three times? She's trying to save you. And had she not turned out of the way, you already probably be dead. And you threatening to kill the donkey for trying to save your life? And Balaam said unto the angel, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. I'll go back home. I'm not going with these men. Yah told me not to go, and I came and inquired of him again. So Yah said, all right, go, but I'm going to kill you. People don't think the Most High will do stuff like that. You choose to be disobedient, I'm going to let you be disobedient and kill you. And the angel of Yah said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. So the Most High wanted him to know, now go ahead and go with them, but don't ever question me again. If I tell you don't go, you better let that be your decision. And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto the city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is the utmost coast. You know, the thing I want us to understand here is that the Most High, number one, he don't play. And he told Balaam to go. And then he sent his messenger who talks on the behalf of the Most High, who represents the Most High. Now go kill him. Because I told him not to go, and he wants to go anyway. That's the only reason why he's back here. Now I'm going to use you, so go ahead and go. And Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word Elohim, that Elohim putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. Do you think after seeing the angel of the Most High telling him if your donkey hadn't done what she had done, trying to save your life, you'd already be dead. You think he's going to speak anything other than what the Most High says at this point? And Balaam went with Balak, and they came unto Karjathahaz, Karjathahaz, and Balak offered oxen and sheep, and sent Balaam and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow. Now, one of the things we got to understand here as well, who is Balak? Who is he sacrificing to? He's sacrificing to the Most High. He's sacrificing to the Most High. And Balak has been used to dealing with Balaam, and Balaam deals with who? The Most High. So when Balak is sacrificing these sheep and these oxen, he's sacrificing them to the Most High, trying to get a favorable outcome. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up in the high places of Baal. Now, they're sacrificing on the altars of Baal, but he's really sacrificing to the Most High, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. Now, I want to bring something up here and make note of it, okay, in verse 41, because this is an altar of Baal. The name Baal translates into the English Lord, okay? This is a Canaanite deity, and the Most High has told Israel when they get into the Promised Land, all of these altars of Baal, all of the high places, because I believe it's going to say that he went up. It'll tell us that he's in the high places, yeah, in verse 41. These high places are these altars that they set up in the mountains. And the Most High told Israel to tear down all these high places because they set up altars to Baal everywhere. And Baal is a fake god. Okay, he's a made-up god of the Canaanites. But Israel, this god, when they worship this god, Balak, Baal, his priests are the priests that used to offer sex with their worship. The priest and the priestess would sleep with the people. And so we learned that, okay? So this is the altar that Balaam is sacrificing on, but he's sacrificing to the Most High because Balaam is dealing with the Most High, okay? Just a little bit of history there. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. So this is the high places. These are the altars dedicated to Baal. But Baal is a Canaanite deity. And they have sex as part of their worship. Numbers chapter 23. The book of Numbers chapter 23. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here seven altars, and prepare me here seven oxen and seven rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. Now, they're not sacrificing on the altars of Baal now, because he says, build me here seven altars. And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go peradventure. Yah will come to meet me. And you know, he said, maybe Yah will come and meet me. And whatsoever he shows me, I will tell thee. And he went to the high place. Now, the Most High is meeting, and I read somewhere where the Most High said he told some people that he was Baal. He told Israel that at one time, okay, because they wanted to worship Baal. But I have to find that. So don't take that as the gospel right at this moment. I have to find that verse because he caused them to worship him as Baal because they wanted to worship Baal. But Baal worship involved the high priest and, you know, who was it, Jezebel? This is the god she serves. And this is, you know, she was the high priestess of Baal worship. And so, you know, we see this through the scriptures. So that means that she was also being the high priestess of Baal. She was also used to having sex with the people who came and worshiped. So we have to also tie that with Jezebel. Okay. And so we would also have to tie that with the king, and his name is escaping me right now, Jezebel's husband. It'll come to me shortly. But he had to also be practicing that as well. And Elohim met Balaam, Numbers chapter 23 and verse 4. And Elohim met Balaam and said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars and have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And Yah put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, Return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, and he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, has brought me from Aram, out of the mountains of the east, saying, Come, curse me, Jacob. And come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom Elohim is not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom Yah has not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of a righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said unto Balaam, What hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. I brought you here to curse this people, and you have just totally blessed them. And he answered and said, Must I not take heed to speak that which Yah has put in my mouth? And Balak said unto him, Come, I pray thee, with me unto another place, from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt see but the utmost part of them, and shalt not see them all, and curse me them from there. And he brought him into the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And he said unto Balak, Stand here by thy burnt offering, while I meet Yah yonder, over there. And Yah met Balaam, and put a word in his mouth, and said, Go again unto Balak, and say thus, And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, What has Yah spoken? And he took up his parable and said, Rise up, Balak, and hear, listen unto me, thou son of Zippor. Elohim is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken and shall not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. Yah his Elohim is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Now, this people been complaining steadily, and the Most High is saying, he's still my people. Elohim brought him out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any division against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what has Elohim done? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion, and he shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. And Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. And Balaam answered and said unto Balak, told not I thee, saying, all that Yah speaketh, that I must do. Now, I also want to make another note here for us in our understanding, that we understand that a prophet must speak. That's why I say we got to know the difference of a prophet. A true prophet can only speak what the Most High says. Can't speak his own words. Got to speak what thus saith Yah. And Balak said unto Balaam, come, I pray thee, I will bring you unto another place. And peradventure, maybe it will please Elohim that thou mayest curse me them from there. Now, he just thinks, you know, he thinks the Most High is some man that he repents of what he says, that he's not going to do what he says he's going to do, that he don't understand that the Most High has already made a promise to Israel that he's going to make a great people out of them, and he's not going to break his word. And Balak brought Balaam unto the top of Peor, that looketh toward Jeshimon. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had said, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar, thinking he'll get a different result, asking the same thing. Yah has already spoken and said, it's a no. And when Balaam saw that it pleased Yah to bless Israel, he went not, as other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents, according to their tribes, and the spirit of Elohim came upon him. And he has upon him, and he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor has said, and the man whose eyes are open has said, he has said, which heard the words of Elohim, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. Now the Most High has come upon Balaam. Now he didn't just meet him. He has entered into him, and he's speaking through him. As the valleys are, they spread forth as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of lined aloes, which Yah has planted, as the cedars trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be many waters. And his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. Elohim brought him forth out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies. He shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. He couched and he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesses thee, and cursed is he that curses thee. So through the Most High is speaking directly through Balaam the prophet, and he's speaking this parable, and he's now telling Balaam, if you curse Israel, so are you cursed. And if you bless Israel, I will bless you. So let's read that last verse again. And he and he couched, he lay down as a lion and as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blessed thee, and cursed is he that curses thee. Now, Balak is hearing this, and Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam. And he smote his hands together, and Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. Look at what he's telling him. Flee to thy place. You better run. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, Yah has kept thee back from honor. Balak is saying, hey, I was going to promote you, and Yah has kept me from promoting you, from giving you this great honor I thought to give you. Now, he's seeking Yah to curse the people, and Yah has told him, I'm not going to curse this people. And now he wants to come against the prophet of the Most High, which means he's really coming against the Most High. And Balaam said unto Balak, spake not I also to thy messengers, which thou sendest unto me, saying, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of Yah to do either good or bad of my own mind. But what Yah said, that will I speak. Didn't I tell you that? And now behold, I go unto my people. Come therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. Because you have cursed them, want me to curse them. Now see what they're going to do to your people. And this is the Most High actually speaking through him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, has said, and the man whose eyes are open have said, he has said, which heard the words of Elohim and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not near. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession of his enemies. And Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. And he looked on the Canaanites and took up his parable and said, strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, the Canaanite shall be wasted until Asher shall carry thee away captive. So these are the princes of Balak, okay, of Moab. And he took up his parable and said, alas, who shall live when Elohim does this? And the ship shall come from the coast of Chittim and shall afflict Ashur and shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish forever. Now this is all coming because Balak wants Balaam to curse Israel. And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. I came and brought you out here to curse this people. You have altogether blessed them. The Most High comes upon Balaam and starts talking directly through Balaam, the parables, and then he tells Balaam, whoever curses Israel is cursed, whoever blesses Israel is blessed. And Balaam still can't hear it, or Balak still can't hear it, and he gets mad at Balaam and tells him, you better flee. You better get away from me. And the Most High says, okay, before he goes, let me tell you what's going to be the end of your people. I'm going to utterly destroy most of them, and the ones I don't destroy, they're going to go into captivity. Okay? Not much in the law here, not much concerning the covenant, except for what the Most High promises Israel and what he promises to do to those nations that came against Israel. Okay? Numbers chapter 25. Numbers chapter 25. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Now remember, these are the Moabites, and they worship Baal. And part of their worship of Baal is to have sex with the priest and the priestess. So now let's read this with that understanding. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their Elohims. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of Yah was kindled against Israel. Now, you know, think about this. The Most High has brought them through the Red Sea, out of Egypt, and through the wilderness. They have seen his miracles. They know the Most High is amongst them. And with a quickness, he's told them, you shall not worship any other Elohim, no other gods. And you see how quick the people are to abandon the Most High? They don't want to keep his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. And Yah said unto Moses, now, and the Most High said that they're not cursed, but they keep doing things to provoke him. And Yah said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people. Now listen to what the Most High says, because these people, they have angered the Most High. They have started worshiping Baal Peor, the Lord Peor. And the anger of Yah was kindled against Israel. Now, and we got to understand that not, you know, for them to take this up, they have started sleeping with the women. And mainly through the worship of Baal Peor. But we'll read this. And Yah said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people, the leaders of the people, and hang them up before Yah against the sun, that the fierce anger of Yah may be turned away from Israel. Take the leaders, the heads of each household, the heads of each tribe, and hang them. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay you every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses. Now Moses married a Midianite woman. But this woman is practicing the worship of Baal and not the worship of the Most High. Let's watch and see what happens. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses. Remember Aaron and Miriam complained to Moses, fronted Moses about marrying the Midianitish woman. And in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So there were some people who saw what was going on, and they were crying out before the Most High. But a lot of the people were running around sleeping with these Midianite women, these Moabite women. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel in the tent, into the tent, and thrust both them through, the man of Israel and the woman, through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. This man is going to take this Midianitish woman, and more than likely, she, you know, was part of the priesthood there. and he is worshiping Baal Peor, and he is going to have sex in his tent in front of Moses, in front of the Most High, with this Midianite woman. And, you know, for him to run this javelin through both of them, to appease the Most High. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. So remember, as soon as Israel, every time they transgressed, the penalty was death. Before it was 14,000 that died. Now it's 24,000. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the high priest, has turned my wrath away from the children of Israel. While he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. I'm going to give my covenant of peace unto Phinehas, because he appeased me. And he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his Elohim and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Now, the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of a chief house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianitish woman that was slain, Cosby, the daughter of Zur, he was head over a people and of the chief of a chief house of Midian. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, vex the Midianites and smite them. Now, Moses married a Midianite woman, and the Midianites are worshiping Baal Peor. And some of them were worshiping the Most High. And now the Most High has told Moses, vex the Midianites and smite them, kill them. For they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor. This is their God. In the matter of Cosby, the daughter of the princes of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plague for Peor's sake. Because this woman was worshiping Peor. And she had to be a priestess. And she was causing this Israelite man to sleep with her in worship of Peor. And Phinehas came and stabbed her and him with this javelin and killed them. But the Most High said, you know, get the leaders of the people who allowed this and hang them. Hang their heads over against the sun. Whether that was to the east or to the west, don't know. So the Most High said, he did this because of his jealousy, because they were worshiping another God. And it came to pass after the plague that Yah, Numbers chapter 26, and it came to pass after the plague that Yah spake unto Moses, unto Eleazar, son of Aaron, the high priest, saying, take the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel from 20 years old and upward throughout their father's house, all that are able to go to war in Israel. And Moses and Eleazar the priest spake with them in the plains of Moab, by Jordan near Jericho, saying, take the sum of the people from 20 years old and upward, as Yah commanded Moses and the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt. Reuben, the eldest son of Israel, the children of Reuben, Hanak, of whom cometh the families of Hanakites, of Pelu, the family of the Peluites, of Hezron, the family of the Hezronites, of Carmi, the family of the Carmites. These are the families of the Reubenites, and they that were numbered of them were 43,750. And the sons of Pelu, Eliab, the sons of Eliab, Nemuel, and Dathan, and Abiram, that is the Dathan and Abiram, which were famous in the congregation, who strove against Moses and against Aaron in the company of Korah, when they strove against Yah. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah when that company died. With time, the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a sign. Notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not. The sons of Simeon, after their families, of Nemuel, the families of Nemuelites, of Jamin, the family of the Jaminites, of Jachin, the family of Jachinites, of Zerah, the family of the Zerahites, of Shaul, the family of Shaulites. These are the family of the Simeonites, 22,200. The children of Gad and their family, Zaphon, the family of the Zaphonites, of Haggai, the family of the Haggites, of Shuni, the family of Shunites, of Ozni, the family of the Oznites, of Eri, the family of Erites, of Arad, the family of Aradites, of the family of Arielites. These are the families of the children of Gad, according to those that were numbered of them, 40,500. And the sons of Judah were Onan. And and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Judah, after their families, were Shelah, the family of Shelahites, and Perez, the family of the Perizzites, and Zerah, the family of Zerahites. And the sons of Perez were of Hezron, the family of Hezronites, and Hamul, the family of Hamulites. These are the families of Judah, according to those that were numbered of them, 76,500. And the sons of Issachar, after their families, of Tola, the family of Tolaites, of Pua, the family of Punites, of Jashub, the family of Jeshavites, of Sharon, the family of Sharonites. These are the families of Issachar, according to the house that were numbered of them, 64,300. So 64 is 60 and 4,300. And the sons of Zebulun, after their families, of Sereat, the family of Sardites, of Elon, the family of Elonites, of Jalil, the family of Jalilites. These are the families of the Zebulunites, according to those that were numbered of them, 60,500. And the sons of Joseph, after their families, were Manasseh and Ephraim. And the sons of Manasseh, of Machir, the family of Machirites. And the Machirite begat Gilead. And the Gilead come to the family of the Gileadites. These are the sons of Gilead, of Jezer, the family of the Jezerites, of Helek, the family of Helekites, and of Jezreel, the family of Asrielites, and of Shechem, the family of Shechemites, and of Shemidia, the family of Shemidiaites, and of Hefer, the family of Heferites, and of Zelophehad, and of the Hefer, and of Zelophehad, the son of Hefer, had no sons, but daughters, and the names of the daughters of Zelophehad were Malah, Noah, Naglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. These are the families of Manasseh, and those that were numbered of them, 52,700. These are the sons of Ephraim and their families, of Shethelah, the family of Shethelites, of Bechir, the family of Bachrites, of Tahan, the family of Tahanites. And these were the sons of Shethlah, of Aaron, the family of Aaronites. These are the families of the son of Ephraim, according to those were numbered of them 32,500. These are the sons of Joseph and after their families. And the sons of Benjamin after their families, of Bala, the family of Belites, and Ashbel, the family of Ashbelites, and of Aharim, the family of Aharimites, and of Ashuham, the family of Ashuhamites, of Hubham, the family of Hubmites, Hufamites. And the sons of Bela were Ard and Naaman, and of Ard, the family of Ardites, and of Naaman, the family of Naamites. These are the sons of Benjamin after their families, and they were numbered of them were 45,600. And these are the sons of Dan after their families, of Shuham, the family of Shuhamites. These are the families of Dan and their families. And all the families of the Shuhamites, according to those that were numbered of them, were 64,400. And all the children of Asher, after their families, of Jimnah, the family of Jimnites, and of Jesu, the family of Jesites, and of Beriah, the family of Berites, and of the sons of Bera, of Heber, the family of Heberites, and of Malachiel, the family of Malachielites. And the name of the daughter of Asher was Sarah. These are the families of the son of Asher, according to those that numbered of them, who were 53,400. And of the sons of Naphtali, after the families of Jaziel, the family of Jazeelites, and of Gunai, the family of Gunites, and of Jazer, the family of Jazerites, and of Shalim, the family of Shalimites. These are the families of Naphtali, according to their families. They were with number of them were 45,400. These were the number of the children of Israel, 600,000 and 1,730. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, unto these the land shall be divided for an inheritance according to the number of names. To many thou shalt give the more inheritance, and to the few thou shalt give the less inheritance. To every one shall his inheritance be given according to those that were numbered of him. Notwithstanding, the land shall be divided by lot, according to the names of the tribes of their fathers, they shall inherit. According to the lot shall the possession thereof be divided between many and few. And these are they that were numbered of the Levites, and their families, Gershon, and the family of the Gershonites, Kohath, and the family of the Kohites, of Merari, and the family of the Merarites. These are the families of the Levites, the family of the Libnites, and the family of the Hebronites, and the families of the Mahalites, and the family of the Mushites, and the family of the Korites. And Korath begat Aram. And the name of Aram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bare to Levi in Egypt. And she bare unto Amram Aaron and Moses, and Miriam their sister. And to Aaron was born Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And Nadab and Abihu died when they offered strange fire before Yah. And those that were numbered of them were 23,000, all males from a month old and upward, for they were not numbered among the children of Israel, because there was no inheritance given unto them among the children of Israel. These are they that were numbered by Moses and Eleazar the priest, who numbered the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. But among these were not a man of whom Moses and Aaron the priest numbered when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For Yah has said, they shall surely die in the wilderness. And there was not left a man of them save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. So we have not numbered all these people. And remember that the Most High had Moses and Aaron to number the people at Mount Sinai. The people of each tribe, 20 years old and older. But then they believed the false report. They believed the negative report that came back from the spies when Moses sent the spies into the promised land to spy it out, and the 10 came back with a negative report, and Caleb and Joshua are the only two to come back with a positive report. And because the people believed the negative report, they walked around the wilderness for 40 years. And the Most High said everybody that was 20 years old and older would not enter into the promised land. So now he's telling us that all those people who were 20 years old and older, the past 40 years have died out. Because he said none of them were any of the people that had rebelled. They were not any of them that Moses and Aaron had previously numbered. Let's read verse 64 and 65 again for clarity. But among these was not a man of them whom Moses and Aaron, the priests, numbered when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. All these people who were 20 years old and older have died. And it's now 40 years later. And Yah said unto them, they shall surely die in the wilderness. And there was not left a man of them save Caleb. These are the only two he said would live. And these are the only two that out of that original, everybody who was over 20, besides Moses and Aaron and those that didn't rebel. Well, actually, all of those other than the priesthood and Caleb and Joshua, they are dead. Everybody who's alive now was not 20 years old at that time. And they are now anywhere from 40 years old, besides Caleb, Joshua and Moses. They are now between 40 years old and 59, because everybody 20 years old and older has died out, as the Most High promised, saying that they wouldn't enter in. And that's what he's telling us here. And we got 647. How many verses is? We'll do chapter 27 and we'll call it a night. Now, what this tells me is it's getting close to the time for Moses to die now, because the Most High has told him he's not going to enter into the promised land. Okay. Numbers chapter 27. Starting in verse 1. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of the daughters: Mahalah, Noah, Haglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. And they stood before Moses, and before Eleazar the priest, and before the princes of all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against Yah in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no son. Why should the name of our father be done away with from among his family? Because he had no son? Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father. This is all girls. And Moses brought their cause before Yah. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren. And thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a man die and have no son, then you shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. And if he have no daughter, then he shall give his inheritance unto his brethren. And if he have no brethren, then he shall give his inheritance unto his father's brethren. And if his father have no brethren, then he shall give his inheritance unto his kinsmen, that is next to him of his family, and he shall possess it, and it shall be unto the children of Israel a statute of judgment, as Yah commanded Moses. And Yah said unto Moses, get thee up into this mount of burial, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. So because of the waters of Meribah, when Moses and Aaron, they had to collude together, you know, between the time that the Most High told them what to do and the time that they spoke to the people, they had to collude together, and what they said caused them not to be able to enter into the promised land. Aaron died on Mount Hor. Now the Most High is getting ready to take the people into the land, into the promised land, and they are at what is this mountain again? Abiram, to see the land which I give unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou shalt gather unto the people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For you rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes, that is the water of Meribah and Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. And Moses spake unto Yah, saying, let Yah, the Elohim of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. So Moses not arguing, he's not fighting. He's not saying, oh Yah, forgive me, I sin. Let me enter into the promised land. He's accepting the judgment of the Most High. He said, set a man over this congregation, which may go out before them, which may go in before them, which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of Yah be not as sheep, which have no shepherd. And Yah said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him charge in thy sight, in their sight. Now, one of the things we got to understand about Joshua was Moses's, you know, people want to look at his right-hand man, but he was really his armor bearer. Everywhere where Moses went, even into the tabernacle, but not into the Holy of Holies, but into the tabernacle, when Moses went up on the mountain, Joshua went with him. Joshua has been in training all this time, okay? And so the Most High takes Joshua and says, now, in him is the Spirit. Lay thy hand upon him and set him before Eleazar the prince, the priest. Now, Eleazar is now the high priest in whose place? Aaron's place. And before all the congregation, and give him charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before Yah. At his word shall they go out, and at his word shall they come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as Yah commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge, as Yah commanded, by the hand of Moses. And we're going to stop here for tonight. We see the change. We saw the change in the priesthood from Aaron to Eleazar. And now we're seeing the change of the office of prophet. Because remember, Moses is a prophet before the Most High. And he's the leader of the people. Now, I want us to understand this. Because, see, we might think that the prophet is in the church is supposed to be below the pastor. Just an office in the church, but not really. If the Most High sends a prophet into the church, that prophet actually has, not unless the actual pastor himself has the gift as well. That prophet is actually higher rank than the pastor of the church. And this is the precedence that the Most High has set through Moses. Moses was not of the priesthood. He was a prophet. And even though he's a Levite, and even of Aaron's family, Moses was higher than Aaron, the high priest. He anointed Aaron. Now, Eleazar is the high priest, but Joshua is being anointed to take Moses' place, and so he's actually also over and higher than the priesthood. Okay, so we have to understand this ranking order, because we, even today, I think we get this wrong. The Most High has shown over and over and over again, if you transgress his commandments, the penalty was death. And here it is, his priesthood always complaining. They have sinned. And they have, you know, worshiped Baal, Peor. But he didn't fire them as a people. He punished them. He made all those that did it, he killed them. And that's what I want us to understand about this covenant. Nowhere is he inconsistent. He is more apt, if you break the covenant, to kill you than he is to have mercy. Now, when he wanted to consume the entire congregation, like he gave them the serpent to look at. And when they still sinned, if they complained, and they sinned, then they still got bit by a snake. But when they got bit by a snake, then they looked at this serpent and they were healed. So the Most High was merciful in that he didn't kill them all. But he still killed most of them. And so we got to understand that even today, we are very lucky that the Most High doesn't impose his punishment right away. But trust what I say. He says there's a day coming, and you're not going to get away with it. So while we can repent, we need to repent. We don't want to stay in our sin. We don't want to stay opposed to him. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your word. We thank you for allowing us to see and to learn of you, for allowing us to see the things that make you angry, that we don't do them, that we don't murmur and complain, that we don't offend you, that we don't worship anything else, anyone else other than you, that we don't make you jealous. That we stay in your graces, in your good grace. Father, remember us and keep us in your grace. Allow us to enter in to your kingdom. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. I don't know. I don't have anything in particular to cover tomorrow for spiritual wellness. I haven't had a chance to look at what we might address. If you get a text message saying we will have a meeting in the morning, I will send it by text. If the Most High gives me something concerning us. Right now I don't have anything. And I don't really want to discuss the land tomorrow because I'm not ready to discuss it yet. So we may not meet tomorrow morning. You'll know if you get a text. And I'll just put it that way and leave it that way for right now. So the text may come in the middle of the night because the Most High may wake me up and say, this is what I want to talk about, but I don't have anything at the moment. All right. May the Most High bless you. May He encamp His angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, whether that's tomorrow morning or Tuesday, remember, I love you, but I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family.
Shalom, bro.
Peace and blessings. Amen.
Without you, there's no